Well, happy Memorial Day weekend. It's been cool to meet new people, see some old friends, rejoice in somebody's getting married next weekend, and also just to be together this weekend. Feel free to get up and grab a cup of coffee or lemonade or a bagel. Also, there are Bibles in the back. We're going to be looking at Scripture and talking through that, and we value all of us being able to open up the Word together. So I just want to welcome you that way. Let me pray, and then we'll start. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here. We ask, Father, that you speak to us. We want to be transformed. We want to be made more like your Son, Jesus. And so when it comes to this passage, this portion of Scripture, this thing that, this idea and that you've laid upon my heart and for us, Lord, how does that apply to us in our Monday morning, everyday lives? So as we look at Scripture and listen to you, we ask that you already begin to transform us and to make us more like your Son, Jesus, or may we see Jesus maybe in a new light as first time as a Lord and Savior and realize that we need him. So I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Amen. How's it going? How are you? What's going on? What's new with you? How many of you use those phrases? You've used those as a phrase to greet people when you first see them. How are you doing? How are you? Okay. A lot of times we do that. For some of you, you know me and how I feel about that, and we can talk about that later. But I want us to be thinking about how we greet one another, and I want us to also be thinking as you look in, you'll see in the bulletin, an insert that you can follow along and write notes. And we're deviating from, we're going through the churches in Revelation. We're kind of taking a little break from that. And this passage of Scripture, Galatians 6, 1 to 5, actually Galatians 6, 2 is my life verse. It's something that really resonates with me. It's something that means a lot to me. I feel like as a follower of Christ, and as a pastor, I want to help people understand that. And how many of you are familiar with this old commercial? I think it was either for health insurance or something, where the person a person approached another person and said, "How are you doing?" And the person said, "Oh, terrible. I got a terrible rash. And from the rash, I started to get hives on my back, and the hives then broke out, and for some reason, it caused me to be dizzy, and I fell down, and I broke my wrist," and they just went on and on and on about all the things that were wrong, and this one guy is like standing there like, "I just said, how are you doing? I didn't want your life medical history." Have you seen that? It was a commercial. It probably outdates me, so I won't remember you to try to remember that. I want you to think about that, and I also want you to think about this statement. Just think about this statement. If we as followers of Christ, or Christians, or children of God, were to really live out carrying one another's burdens, as it says in Galatians 6:2, the need for counselors would be less. I just want you to think about that. If we as followers of Christ were to really live out and grasp carrying one another's burdens, the need for counselors would be less. Need to see a counselor. Now, some of you are like itching, "Let's go. I want to debate about that." We can't, because I'm going to talk to you. Where you can debate that is in your community groups. And you'll see the community group questions there. It's something just to think about, and as we think about this title, carrying and being carried, Galatians 6:1-5. Living the gospel with purpose in community includes carrying others' burdens and allowing others to carry ours. This came out of one of the cool things that I get to do as a pastor is I get to do membership interviews. And some of the places I've done membership interviews have been really cool. And all the people that I've done membership interviews have been cool. And it's just great to hear stories and how Jesus has transformed people's lives and they're wanting to be involved in our church and they got questions about our church. And over our last membership course in sitting down with people, I noticed like a theme. There was a certain theme. And then talking with other people, there was just a theme. And that theme was more genuine, authentic, and transparent depth. More genuine, authentic, and transparent depth within relationships within Antioch and within the church. It was a theme that I saw through that. It had different ways of saying it, but it was there. Also in my life, God has been challenging me as a person that has ADD and struggles with focus and attention and can't sit still to really study John 15. What does it mean to abide or remain in Christ? And as I've been studying John 15, I then have been looking at, and you can see, I think I have the passages down there. I would go then to Galatians 5:16 to 6:10, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and then how those are played out. And I've been like, as I wrestle with that, we wrestle with it in our discipleship community, with our guys, with people we talk to. I want to know what an abiding and a remaining relationship with Jesus is like. I want to know what that looks like for me, and I want to know how can I be bearing fruit and walking in the Spirit and not walking in my flesh? And then how when I bear fruit, what does that look like? Because the traditional way for me that I've been taught and I think is the way that we abide in some of our minds, we think it's, and I'm not, my grandmother Adams was a great example for me, but it was her devotional time. It was her quiet time. It was the large print daily bread, you know, and praying for everybody in our family and that she knows, which is awesome. And I've found as even as a pastor and as a person that has ADD, I have a hard time sitting still. It's hard for me to sit down and to just read and to pray for long periods of time. And God has been really gracious, you know, in showing me what does abiding and remaining in Christ look like. And so this morning, what we're talking about in carrying one another's burdens and allowing others to carry ours is a byproduct. It results from the fruits of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Let's turn in your Bibles to Galatians. I just remember, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Some of you have different ones, but that's the one. I thought I'd throw that one out there. It's not even in my notes. Read with me. I'm going to read through Galatians 5:25 through 6:10. Okay, and then we're going to focus in really on chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. So Paul is writing about walking in the Spirit. He then goes on to talk about what I call the anti-fruits, the opposite fruits of the Spirit. And then he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And then in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then in 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he also will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So let's look at verse 1 in chapter 6. Paul writes, brothers. And as he writes, brothers, he's referring to us, to the church, to people that are followers of Christ, to the people that call themselves Christians, that have chosen Christ and are following him. If anyone is caught in any transgression, and the word transgression here, another word for that is a trespass. It's the word transgression is another way to say sin, but it's sin in if anyone is caught in an act of like rebelling against God, rebelling against God's word, rebelling against God's commands and what he wants. If anyone is caught in any transgression of disobedience against God, and Paul could also be referencing here the works of the flesh, the I call them the anti-fruit. And if you look at back in chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it lists all of those. He could be referencing those or what comes out of those if we live those anti-fruits out and we follow our flesh. So brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual. Now here, we could easily look at that and say, oh, well, he's starting to make a holier-than-thou club, an elitist group. You who are spiritual, step forward and get after people about their sin. And it's really not that at all. You who are spiritual really actually means, from this point, it's people that are walking in the Spirit. It's people that, as Paul had talked about, the fruits of the Spirit, they're bearing those fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's coming out. It's people that are walking according to the Spirit and not their flesh. It's you who are spiritual, not meaning you who are greater than me and holier than thou, but are pursuing God, pursuing the Holy Spirit, bearing the fruits. In Romans 15, 1 through 3, if you want to write that down, you can look at that later or in your community group. It talks about in Romans 15, 1 through 3, it talks about the results of why we do good things, why we carry each other's burdens. Why do we do that? What is the reason, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. And the word restoration here is referring to resetting of a broken bone. If you've ever broken, I broke my leg when I was 10 skiing. I don't remember it getting reset, but I remember having the broken leg. A broken bone, or it means like fixing or tending a net, you know, to catch fish. And you think about it, when a bone is broken in the body or a piece of the net is ripped, the body and the net itself are not able to work all together to function and to do what they're called to do. And so what's meaning here in the restoration and restoring people is not that you go in and say, hey, you're a sinner, you need to clean up your act, I slap you around, you know, and you're there. But it's done in restoration is done because I look at you and I say, I see you struggling, I see this burden, I see this sin, and I see how it's affecting your relationship with Jesus. I see how it's affecting the church and your family. I want you to see your sin and see Jesus in there. A restoration. And it's a point in there, it's in community. Because it's us carrying one another's burdens isn't just, well, only the people that have, you know, the gift of mercy, or only the people that are people-oriented like me. You know, it's us. It's the body of Christ. It's the community. So it's restoration in community. And it could be that if you look back at 6:1, the verb restore could be calling for some spiritual therapy from so it's a broken member of the body, and thinking of the whole body, the whole church. Let me back up a little bit. You who are spiritual, when you think of that, and we think of carrying one another's burdens, how often have you kind of thought this as somebody is sharing a burden with you? Well, who am I to talk to them about that sin? Or who am I to help them carry that burden? I don't understand at all what they're going through. Have you ever felt that? And also, here's another one that's been frequent. Somebody shares a burden with you. I am in no way, shape, or form healthy enough to help you. I have all of my own burdens. I'm strung out and tired, and I am in no position or no way ready to help you. As we think about we who are spiritual, we'll address those things, but I want us to be thinking about that. So then how do we restore people? It's not in a spirit of roughness, of beating them up, of pounding them, but what? Gentleness, it says there. In a spirit of gentleness. And gentleness is what? One of the fruits of the Spirit. And gentleness isn't just weakness. Oh, I'm gentle, and you need to work on that. But it's actually great strength under control. And when I think of that, the question I asked myself was this. When I see, like, either sin in somebody's life or a result of sin in the form of a burden, okay, but mainly just the sin of transgression, how do I respond to sin? Do I respond to sin with sin? Do we respond to sin with sin? And you say, well, no, Jamie, you don't do that. Here's kind of how I do it, and we've done it. I'm going to put all of us in the same category. You're screwing up. You're a sinner. I'm angry with you because you're making mistakes. So I'm going to turn my back on you because I don't want to be around you and I don't want to confront you. What are some other ways? It's like, and if you think of the very same thing, sometimes our responses are sinful and we're responding to somebody else's sin. I know that for me, I got to check myself all the time. Why do I want to say this? Why do I want to restore this person? Why do I want to carry this burden? What's my motive? We're going to talk about that. Where is it coming from? So ask yourself this. When confronting sin in somebody's life, pray and say, God, I don't want to sin when I confront sin. I want to do it in a spirit of gentleness. And what is gentleness? It's strength under control. And then also, it says at the end, to keep watch, lest you too be tempted. We always have to watch out when we're dealing with, whether it's burdens or people's sins. It could be the same one that we struggle with and we know we're weak. And I'm going to be real cautious about how I respond. I need to do a self-examination and say, okay, I might not be the right one for this. You know, let's involve the community, the family, the church, our body, the body of Christ. Then on to verse 2. Bearing or carrying one another's burdens as a member of community. carry one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does this look like? What does carrying a burden look like? Can I put it in a definition, and can we write it out and hand it to us? I wish we could. I wish I could. What does it mean to really to bear or carry somebody's burdens? Well, some of the things as I've been studying and looking at this goes back to, it's us abiding in Christ. It's us remaining in Christ. It's us being tied into Jesus. And then as we're into Jesus and we're part of the vine, as that John 15 analogy is, we're bearing fruit. And as we bear fruit, some of the fruits are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all the things that can help us what? Carry people's burdens. So how does that look? Well, it comes back from, am I abiding in Christ? Am I doing that? And am I bearing fruit? And that was an illustration. One of the ways, just practical things that I'm just going to spout off with you, I wrote it in the newsletter too. Wrote an article for our newsletter. How many of you have that? Okay, there's two or three people. Okay, it's online, so you got to get it. I'm going to be sending it out, but in that are some practical ways of carrying burdens, okay? And here's some of them. Ask. How are you doing? I'm not just saying hello. Scott, how are you doing? How's your heart? What's going on with you? Ask. Look around. Some people wear their emotions on their sleeves. And there's a little like a dark cloud that rains on some people when they're down and out. I know I'm like that. And you can see in people, if you know them well enough, and we're getting to know people as a family, we're able to see that person's downcast. Maybe I should go ask and not just greet. Then we ask. Then we pray. But I'm scared. I don't know what to say about prayer. I can't pray for them right there, can I? Why not pray for them? And we need to dismiss the phrase, well, I'll be praying for you. And you don't mean it. We need to get rid of that. I'll pray for you. And I'm sorry, but there's a side of me that wants to look at some people and say, yeah, right. You won't. So what I'm trying to do, and I don't do it all the time because a lot of you can say, you didn't do that with me, Jamie, I want to pray for you. And then even if I'm feeling uncomfortable, like to pray for a dude right then and there, okay, I'm going to leave. And as I'm leaving that conversation, I'm talking to God about what dude's problem is. And then I'm trying to remember, I'm either writing it down, but I'm thinking throughout the week, I want to ask. And I see dude again on Sunday, and I want to come up, and what does really deep down inside think of it? What does dude want me to ask him if that was a heavy burden? Ask me how I'm doing. Dude says, hey, I say, dude, how are you doing with that burden from last week? And check me if I'm wrong, or send an email to Andy if you disagree with what I'm about to say. I tried to do a Steve Treichler thing. We want people to follow up with us. We want people to say, I'm praying for you and I care. How are you doing? We want people to see it. And those of us, okay, that have been burned by hypocrisy and legalism, from church, we want to see some real, authentic people loving and caring for one another, then let's do it. Ask to pray, pray, ask again. Dude says, I'm not doing well. Let me pray for you again. And I carry his burden. And then dude says to me, thanks for carrying my burden, and I'm going far too ahead here, but how can I pray for you? What's going on with you? How can I help you? Does your son need help with algebra tutoring or something? Dude's been helping us with algebra. So anyways, so, and here's the other thing. We need to get rid of, well, I'm not on the spiritual mountaintop. I need to be on the spiritual mountaintop in order to be able to do this. We need to get rid of I don't have it all together. I'm struggling and messing up, so I can't offer to pray for somebody. Well, I have found it very therapeutic in my life, even though I'm messing up, to be able to pray for somebody else, because it takes my attention off of my sin and the things that I'm doing, and I tend to throw myself big, huge pity parties. And it takes my attention off of them, and it focuses off of me onto them and onto Jesus. And it's been therapeutic and helpful. And we need to say, look, well, I don't understand your burden. I don't understand at all the pain you're feeling, because I've not been there. I don't know what that is or anything. So what? Do you love God? Yeah. Do you love them? Yeah. Pray for them and ask. And then the biggest thing that I had to learn, you know, and still is just God's been chipping away at me, is some of us like to carry other people's burdens. We like to do that. We want to help. But I have found that one of the biggest struggles that I had was I carried people's burdens because I liked it that they had to come to me. Whenever they were down and out, they were giving me a call. And I was able to say to people, I have like 10 counseling appointments this week. I'm being Jamie, I'm doing this. And what was I doing? I was pointing people to me to be their savior, and that doesn't work. It only feeds my pride and ego, brings me down, and it doesn't help them at all. So we ask, we pray, we follow up, we don't have to have it all together, we don't have to understand, and we want to make people dependent on Jesus, on Scripture, on the gospel, not on us. That's what we want to do. An important story of not knowing what to do, but the grace of God helping me carry a burden was years ago when I was a youth pastor in Morris. There was a girl in our youth group that was killed in a car accident in the winter, Anna. And her family was heavily involved, and I came to the emergency room with the pastor, and it felt like every half an hour, a brother or a sister or a family member would show up not knowing that they had lost their sister, and we would have to tell them that. I couldn't think of any wise words to say. I couldn't think of any verses to go through. And I sat there and I cried. I just cried with them and prayed. And I'm like, this is like, I'm telling, it was like one of the hardest things. And some of them were not handling it well, and they were freaking out, and I didn't know what to do, and I'm praying and crying and feeling like a failure. Well, years later, I got a card, and all the card said was, thank you for doing what you did the day that we lost our daughter and our sister. You know, I didn't do anything. Yeah, I did. I carried a burden. I was there. I cared for them. It was only by the grace of God, because I felt like I had failed. What are burdens? Well, sometimes they're direct results of the sin in our lives. Sometimes they're results of sin in other people's lives and how they affect us in life and where they come. Those are burdens. And we know that sin, and Paul talks about that further on down in Galatians 6, he talks about the domino effect of reaping what we sow. When I sin, I reap corruption and destruction. When I exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, I'll have the fruits of the Spirit, and I'll be carrying one another's burden. When another person sins, we sometimes reap their corruption, in that we're the one getting hammered on, you know, as a result of that. And the burdens come from all these different ways. And why? It says, look at the end of verse 2. So carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If it isn't already in there, write down Romans 13, 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. What is the law of Christ? It's simply, in a simple way, it's loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Carrying one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ because we love other people like we love ourselves. Then, as Paul keeps going in 1 through 5 in verse 3, For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Here, we once again need to check our motive. Sometimes, for those of us that are, we like to counsel, we like to help people, we got to check our motive and say, why are we doing this? So that people can, I can get the approval of people over me, so I can feel good about helping somebody out, so I can use my gifts? Or is it to honor and glorify God, restore somebody, and build them up? What's my motive? And when we think about the gospel, and we start to think we're something, when we start to think we're something and we have it all together, we turn away from the gospel. Because the gospel says we're nothing. We're lost in our sin without Jesus. But with Jesus and because of the cross, we're something. And so we got to keep the cross in focus. Look at verse 4. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. This can be a little confusing too, but here's another self-evaluation that Paul's doing. Asking the question, are we spiritually mature enough to take pride in what God is doing in that person's life? And who we are in Christ, and not about our gifts and us being something when we're nothing? Are we able to take pride in seeing transformation, in seeing people knowing Jesus more and following Jesus closer and being healed? Do we take pride in that? Because if we're going to boast, look at verse 14 of chapter 6. If we're going to take pride or boast, it's going to be because of the cross and because of what Jesus has done. Then verse 5. For each one will have to bear his own load. If you look at verse 5 and verse 2, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Carry one another's burdens, but bear your own burden. That's kind of confusing. The words are different. The burden in verse 2 and the load here in verse 5 are different words. Verse 2 refers to the need to come to the aid of others who cannot carry these crushing burdens alone. Verse 5 refers to the work given to us by our master. And I use the phrase, using our God-given talents, gifts, and abilities in community. I thought I had turned that off. My bad. Using our God-given talents and gifts in community Bearing our load means we're bearing our load and we're carrying one another's burdens. Serving others. Some Proverbs verses that talk about that. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give it, when you have it with you. In hearing people's burdens. Also look at Proverbs 11:25. I love this one. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. As we carry other people's burdens, there is also a sense of us being able to say, hey, I'm going to come, I'm going to give you my burden. Now, how are you doing? You know, and having that mutual relationship, and there's a caring and the refreshing that comes from that. So now what? In closing. Challenge you to pray and ask God for deeper and intimate relationships for yourselves and for others. Pray and ask God for deeper, intimate relationships for yourself and for other people. Here's a start. This morning, you could start by getting up and going up back, and we have people that are there with little badges for prayer. They want to pray for you. That could be a start, allowing people to pray for you. Another thing, pursue authentic vulnerability in your community groups. And guess what? It's going to take trust. And guess what? It's going to be messy. Because I'm sure we could go around the room and hear stories of, well, I opened myself up one time and got stomped on. I'm not doing it again. We have to allow that, and we have to be able to, and we have to know how to care for each other. How about taking the phrase, how are you doing and how's it going, out of your vocabulary? And just turning it into hello, good morning, and using that, moving that over to hello, good morning. How are you doing, Scott? I'm just saying, maybe some of us need to do that. I know I need to work on that, because I do it so often that it just becomes a, and you'll catch me on it now that I've let the cat out of the bag. You'll catch me on it. Or to just say somebody's name when you see them. Another thing, when somebody shares a burden with you, follow up. Ask them again. Send them a text. Email them. See them on Facebook. You know, you got to be careful about how, you know, deep that was. Follow up. Ask again. And then think of it this way. Think of a time when somebody followed up with you. You were really down and out, really struggling. They came alongside. They prayed for you. They carried your burden. And then a week later, you're still struggling with this, but and you're not expecting them. And they come up and say, hey, how's it going with that? How did you feel? You felt cared for. I'll tell you how you feel. I do. It shows that it's real and authentic. Be careful of, hey, I'll pray for you. I'll be praying for you. And not mean it. And then another one, in light of the gospel, guess what? Jesus is our ultimate burden barrier. Bearer. A barrier. Our burden bearer. Jesus took all of our sin, all of the junk that we've done, and all that we are on himself, and carried our burden, we need to not be selfish. We need to get over two things. One, a lifestyle of I don't have time, or I'm not that way, or it's scary, or whatever excuses. And then also a balanced one of being able to, especially like somebody like me, if somebody asks me how I'm doing, it might be like that commercial, well, this and this and this and this and this and you know, and it's like, whoa, you know, and there'll be times in life where we're like that, but then even at those times, at our broken times when we're like that, we can say, now, what about you? How can I help you? Right now, I'm not in a state where I can pray for you, but what do you need? I'm here for you. See, it's both and. Are you someone this morning that is in deep pain or suffering when it comes to carrying burdens, having our burdens carried and carrying others? My call to you is be very careful about what you expect of other people. Be very careful about that. But even in your pain, you can reach out and carry a burden. Maybe you're growing in your in a relationship with Jesus, and this is new for you, and you know you need it. It's time to start. Maybe you're here and you're one of us that's been hurt by hypocrisy or legalism through other church leaders, churches, or authority. We know that carrying one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ is the authenticity and the realness that we've wanted. So let's do it. Rather than point back and say, they're not like that, and they weren't like that, and they hurt me. Forget that. Let's start doing it now. Maybe you've done Bible studies and preached through and did a paper on Galatians 6. You know it. Live it. Don't just say, I know it. Live it. For kids, teenagers, as I thought about some people that were in our church and how this would apply, what I thought to you is look around you as you finish off school and see if there are people that have burdens, you know, and go up and say, how are you doing? You look kind of downcast, you know, and take a step that way in carrying a burden. And for those of you maybe new to marriage or new to having kids, now you see it. There's burdens. It's heavy. It's hard. And together, as a body, we try, you know, we're trying as a church to be there for people in that new phase, in both of those phases. And you can be there for each other. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning and for your word. God, if I've said something that wasn't right or was contrary to the truth, I pray, God, that that your truth and that you will be heard in that. Speak to us in any of these ways. If we have burdens or we need to carry burdens or we need to break through to some other things. May this worship time that we sing in music and we take an offering and then we hang out after and have bagels and coffee, want to love each other and be there for each other. Maybe it's a start for some of us. So we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.